From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 24th day of April, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Tug Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo at globalanalytics.biz, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they settled in Chicago. May corn 3.5 lower today at 315.75. July at 323, down 3. And December, 2 cents lower at 336.75. May soybeans down 7, 832.25. The settlement price. November, 841.5, down 6.5. Bean oil off 56.6 cents. The bean meal, a dollar lower. Wheat futures soft red, down 14.25. The hard red down a dime. It settled at 483.25. Live cattle futures were up, or rather down, 97.5 cents in the April. The feeder cattle for the afternoon finished 37.5 cents higher, and lean hogs were up $1.55 in the May. The June, however, was down a dime. We're now joined by Mike Zuzolo. He's at globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike. I want to start with the wheat corn spread. I know you've been watching that pretty faithfully. What do you make of it?
Well, I think the fact that we went up to 2013, 2014 levels in the lead month soft red wheat against the lead month corn put us into a pretty precarious position, Todd, especially given the fact the dollar had been pretty much a continued safe haven buy throughout the week. And really the story of the wheat, as far as the bullish story, is the hard red wheat and that area that has been missing rains and has seen freeze damage, as now we know has seen freeze damage based upon what USDA's crop conditions report said. So after Monday's crop conditions numbers came out, validated the freeze hit, it didn't surprise me at all that the soft red wheat would want to take a spill against the corn, having gotten up to about $2.40 premium to the corn. I think one thing that maybe is a little bit more disturbing other than the weekly technicals on the wheat, and that it looks very vulnerable as we go into Monday's opening, is the fact that maybe the feed grains are starting to get more negative in terms of a bigger picture mindset, not just because of ethanol, but now also because of what's going on with the processors and the meat packing industry. We'd kind of been dancing around this situation and this issue of, are we going to lose a lot of corn and wheat and soy meal crush and feed demand? And the market, I think, unfortunately, is starting to think, yes, we're going to lose more than we thought we would, just because some of these plants this week, big plants this week, decided to go ahead and shut down indefinitely, not give it a restart date. And then late Friday, we found out that Smithfield's being sued over conditions in a Missouri plant. So I think that may be something we're going to have to really, really watch when we come back next week.
This comes on the heels of about half, I think, of the ethanol plants idling or shutting down across the nation. ADM to having two yesterday that they idled as well. The supply chain has really been under a lot of stress. We're down on the bottom side of the corn market here. Is there much lower that this thing can go?
Well, I had someone ask me today if corn could go negative like crude oil. And, you know, the bottom line answer is yes, it can. Now that we have instituted derivatives formulas that allow it to do that, and that crude oil was changed in terms of both options and futures derivatives with the supply demand fundamentals being reported, the reason why we changed those numbers and those formulas. It should not need to go negative at this point, though, in my opinion, unless the energies drag us lower. You know, we've talked a couple different times before about the food versus fuel and what the difference is. And there is a big difference. I mean, if you look at the new high, I've got a new all-time high for ground beef as far as my records go back, but at least until 2008, we're back up above $2.75 a pound and 81% ground beef. And yet we saw $81 fat cattle trade on a limit down move today, the exact same time period. So there is this massive disconnect, and crude oil and fuel is right at the heart and at the center of that, both in terms of the biofuel situation that you're talking about, and also the way the funds trade and the currencies trade. And so stability was found this week, stability in the crude oil and stability in the hogs, our two canaries in the commodity coal mine when it comes to oversupply. But you can't say the lows are in yet, if you ask me.
So it's about expiration and then going into delivery that we have to watch each and every month at this time.
Yeah, exactly. The next 30 days, and you know what? That may be elongated out into the next 90 days. All the special report I referenced last week when we talked about the processors and what information I was trying to get from cold storage reports, the more work I do on this special report, the more roads, all the roads lead back to getting the COVID to get off our backs as far as being able to get us back to work and allow the economy to get started again and the social cohesion, the social fabric of our country to get back together. And I still put at the very top of my list the summer grilling season and the summer driving season. If we can't keep those, Todd, we're probably going to have to go through this in more than just a 30-day period as we go into delivery. But your mindset is exactly right, that the physical, the cash market comes together with the April fat cattle this coming month, this next coming week or so, and the May corn, May wheat, and May soybeans all come together as well, May meal, with the delivery now in process. And I think these things, all of them together, really offset the very wet outlook we have for the corn planting as we get out of April and into the first week and maybe even the second week of May.
The dollar has remained strong. Will it continue to be that way?
It will, as long as countries like Russia continue to cut their interest rates like they did on Friday morning. This was a big deal to me because it just made the market realize the dollar's still the pig with the lipstick on. And if we start seeing these emerging markets like Russia and China and Brazil, which made another fresh record low in their currency on Friday, we keep seeing that, the dollar's going to remain a real sour grape when it comes to the commodity sector. So until this goes back to the COVID. If we would get rid of COVID and we would be able to see that we were coming out of this pandemic, the market would start looking at all the fiscal and monetary policy that has been thrown into the marketplace and say, wow, that's pretty inflationary. We don't need the dollar to keep going up, do we?
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzalos with GlobalAnalytics.biz. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and with Agrible. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. I think we've got a lot to cover today. So next 24-hour period, we had kind of some wet, hoping for some dry, maybe?
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing about the rain that came through is, okay, so a lot of folks here in Illinois had a decent stretch before that rain the other day came through where a lot of field work got done. And we had some windier days and some drier days, and we really did a lot to kind of help improve soil conditions. So when that rain came through, I was talking to a good friend of mine who farms, and I said, you know, all right, what did that rain do? He says, well, after I got planted, a gentle rain like we had the other day is fantastic. So that's good. It's just a matter of not getting any massive rainfall events between now moving forward. So we do have more rain coming here in the next 24 hours. It's going to be spreading from the west across us. And again, it's not a situation where we're going to be just dumping, you know, enormous amounts of rainfall, but it's going to be a soggy here start to our weekend as this next system pulls through. Now, Sunday into Monday is going to improve. The conditions are going to improve, although we're not going to be seeing much in terms of above average temperatures to start next week. We do have some warmer and drier conditions. But on Tuesday, keep a really close eye on a low pressure system that could hit just to our north. And as it pulls through, we actually have the chance of seeing some thunderstorms because that low is to our north now rather than sitting over the top of us. So I still see two more rainfall events here in the next 5 days that we need to keep an eye out on in terms of, I think, knocking us back and keeping us out of the fields.
No, so that'll scare farmers a little bit, but rainfall events aren't that infrequent at this time of year for us. What's the difference between this year and last year, if any?
Well, last year, of course, we were just now getting into the extremely frequent rainfall event pattern we were in. So I did a little bit of research this past week, and I calculated what the average number of rainfall events are from April 15th to May 15th. So we look at that time period. How many days should we record at least a tenth of an inch of rain? And for central Illinois, it's about 8 to 9 days. So just for example, this year, we've already had three of those since April 15. So we would expect that over the next 20 days or so, another 5 or 6, that would be normal for us. Well, that time period last year, we had 15 of those 31 days with rainfall. That was one of the most frequent rainfall time periods we've actually ever had on record. Whereas 2018, we had four. So it's a pretty sizable difference between these last 2 years. And it looks as though this year is going into what we call normal. Now, when I think about the precipitation, I think it's going to be divided west versus east. Better chances of getting rainfall when you get east of the central part of the Corn Belt. And I kind of divide the Corn Belt almost right there, smack dab in the middle of Illinois. East of there, you know, we're going to be wet, and west of there, better chances of being drier and having more open windows. So that's, again, my outlook as we get into the first full week of the month of May.
Rainfall's one thing, but the subsoil and topsoil levels were really wet, moist, going through the wintertime because of all the rain last year. Although I saw a whole bunch of pictures on Twitter of the dust flying as the planters were rolling.
Yeah, and we improved soil moisture over the last month, which was great. We saw actually about 2 inches evaporate out of the topsoil, which is great. We want to see that. But you're right. It's not just that moisture aspect of things that allowed us to get in the fields and start moving before the rain got here. But it's also what the temperatures were doing. In fact, I'm a little bit concerned that maybe on Monday morning, parts of Michigan, maybe north, eastern Indiana, over into Ohio, we'll be seeing temperatures there that are getting down into the very low 30s, and we might get some frost happening. And that would be extremely late for the eastern Corn Belt on getting a frost. So this temperature pattern we're going into is going to favor a lot of heat out west, while the eastern third of the country really focused in on the northeast is going to be seeing much below average temperatures. We're going to be right on the dividing line here in Illinois, and I think we're going to be favoring a warming pattern after we get past middle of next week, which is good. We need to bring up some heat and get this crop some heat into it as we progress into the month of May.
Yeah, speaking of that, May starts on Friday of next week. Any pattern changes in the offing?
Yeah, I think the thing we're going to be watching in May is a ridge developing over the west and that trough over the east. We need to see how long that's going to last. So the good thing about a pattern like that is it's the exact opposite of what we had last year. Last year, there was a trough over the southwest and a ridge over the southeast. And that just set us up with this flow basically out of Arizona straight to New York. And we were caught in the middle of it and it wouldn't stop raining. Well, this year we got a ridge there and a trough over the eastern part of the United States. And the result is drier conditions the farther west you go. The big question that will loom in my brain for a while is I see that setting up through the first week of May, but does it ever break down as we get into the middle part of May? Ideal, send the whole jet stream, all of it, north as fast as we can. Let it run through the Canadian prairies, not through the United States. If that would be the case, we would have almost perfect setup for getting this crop going as we dry a little bit, let the new crop chase the water down through the profile a little bit. But we'll have to wait till we get past that first week of May to see if that is the case in the flow of the jet stream.
Is there much of a difference between the eastern and the western parts of the Corn Belt going forward, do you think?
I do. I think if I had to pin it down and say who's going to have the more difficult time getting a crop in this year, I would have to say the Ohio Valley is going to be the region that struggles the most. While I think parts of the western Corn Belt, including the Dakotas, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, are going to see wider planting windows than we are in the eastern part.
South America, anything there?
You know, the story for South America has been how dry things have been in southern Brazil. That's part of the story, I think, coming out of South America, is that the next 10 days we don't see much in terms of increasing their drought stress. Argentina is going to get a major slowdown coming. They've been ahead on their harvesting progress by about 10% of normal for both corn and soybeans. And we've got some pretty big rains moving through that area, which is going to really do the same thing that's happening here. It's going to chase them out of the fields as they're trying to harvest. Safrinha crop right now, though, in Mato Grosso, Bahia, Minas Gerais, Tocantins, right now does not look to be adversely impacted by the drop-off in moisture we're going to be seeing. But remember, once we get into May, we normally expect May to have about a third of the normal rainfall that April has. So it's the end of the monsoon down there, so we got to see how those crops do finish.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.